The gospel reading that we heard today contains one of those quotations of scripture that have made it into everyday speech. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. The saying of Jesus has been transformed into the idiomatic expression, "It's my cross to bear." We use this expression in a variety of ways. Sometimes we use it ironically about a minor inconvenience or sacrifice, such as when there's one last sliver of cake left and we magnanimously tell the other person who is reaching for it, "No, you take it, I'll go without, that'll be my cross to bear." Other times we use it when it seems the adage holds true that no good thing in life comes easy. No privilege without some responsibility and therefore some burden. And still other times, we use it to express resignation over a difficult situation that we would like to change, but we can't seem to. And instead of continuing to struggle to improve things, we just try to make peace with the pain and disappointment as our cross to bear. But that's how we use the expression. What does Jesus mean by these words? When Jesus tells his disciples, "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me," what is he teaching them? What is he showing them about life with God? What is he showing them about what it means to be a follower of Christ? Let's remind ourselves of the context. Just before uttering these words, Jesus confirms to his disciples that he is the Messiah. And from then on, Jesus begins to explain to them the meaning of his discipleship, his messiahship, what his messiahship entails. He tells them of the suffering he must endure in Jerusalem that's incited by the religious leaders and carried out by the occupying power of Rome. He tells them that he must even lose his life, but that after 3 days, he will be raised from the dead. Apparently, the thought of Jesus' suffering and death is too much for Peter to bear, and he rebukes Jesus and insists that he must be mistaken. And Jesus' response to Peter's rebuke is severe. "Get behind me, Satan." We might think that Jesus might be a little more sympathetic to someone who doesn't want to see him suffer and die. But the words that the gospel writer puts on Jesus' lips here are carefully chosen. The way Jesus responds to Peter is reminiscent of the words that he says earlier in Matthew's gospel, when the devil tempts him in the wilderness after his baptism. There the devil tells Jesus he will give him all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus will only fall down and worship him. And Jesus responds to the devil in the same way that he responds to Peter. Now, in these two stories, it's obvious that Satan and Peter have very different motives, but they're both telling Jesus the same untruth, that he can reach the end that God the Father has ordained for him without also walking the path that God the Father has ordained for him. Essentially, what Peter is telling Jesus is this: "Lord, you can still be the Messiah without undergoing this great suffering and death." And to this, Jesus replies, "You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And it's in this context that Jesus tells his disciples, "If any want to be my disciples, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Jesus wants his disciples to know that following him won't be devoid of suffering. If anyone thinks that following Jesus is a way to guarantee that they will never again experience any pain or sorrow, Jesus is making it clear that that belief is mistaken. It's important to be clear-eyed about the fact that the Christian life is not without its trials. Jesus' teaching here certainly is not easy. But I think we sometimes interpret it in ways that make it more difficult than it needs to be, ways that are even problematic. There's a dangerous temptation here to valorize suffering as something that's good in itself. We run the risk of thinking that this passage advocates a certain level of masochism, even, that it instructs us to accept or even approve harm. We can start to think that Jesus was commanding us to seek out burdens. We can start to worry that if we are too happy or too comfortable, it means we're not serious enough about serving God and our neighbor. When we hear Jesus say, "Let them deny themselves," we might take this to mean that we should neglect our own needs and only focus on the needs of others. We can come to think that our work has more spiritual value the more we struggle while doing it. I have a friend who recently told me that she had this mindset for a long time. She thought that she should dedicate her life to work that she found draining and burdensome and just grit her teeth and do it. She thought that this is what it meant to follow Jesus faithfully. And the work that she had decided to do was good work, and it was going to help people. But what she finally realized was that there are people out there who actually enjoyed that work, and they were better at it than she was. Once she abandoned the idea that faithful work had to be work that made her miserable, she was able to recognize her own gifts and discover the ways that she could faithfully follow Jesus that aligned with who she was and ultimately better served others. Her work is still challenging, and it still requires some measure of sacrifice, but she isn't crushed by it. She can experience joy in it. When Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him, he isn't instructing us to seek out burdens for its own sake. He isn't asking us to stay in unhealthy or harmful situations. What this misinterpretation of Jesus' words gets wrong is that it focuses only on taking up our cross and ignores what Jesus tells us to do with it. We aren't called just to take up our cross. Jesus beckons us to take up our cross and follow him with it. And that means when we experience suffering in this life, Jesus doesn't expect us to just grin and bear it. What he desires is that we take our suffering and we bring it to him. And where does Jesus lead those who follow him? He leads them to resurrection. The path that Jesus walked, the path on which Jesus invites us to follow him, is a path that isn't free of suffering. But suffering isn't the point. I'm going to say that again. Suffering isn't the point. It's not the last stop on the path. When we follow Jesus, he leads us to new life in him. No matter what pain, no matter what heartache, no matter what loss we suffer, as we follow Jesus, we know that what awaits us is resurrection. And so the ultimate goal of taking up our cross is not to increase our suffering. No, the goal of taking up our cross is to take it to Jesus and there experience resurrection. I recently witnessed a powerful but admittedly difficult example of someone taking up their cross and following Jesus. I was working as a chaplain at a correctional institution, and I met a man who had been incarcerated for many years. During this time, he had become a follower of Christ. And a few years ago, he was given the opportunity to receive a seminary education while in prison, and he began to minister to other incarcerated men. One day we were discussing what it means to have hope as a Christian while experiencing incarceration. And he told me that a well-meaning man had recently encouraged him that God would get him out of prison. And he reproved that man and said, "I don't know that, but what I do know is that I can serve God here." And I want to be very clear, this man does not think it is good for him to be in prison. He still prays that his sentence will be commuted. And when he hears of new legislation that might reduce his time, he investigates it enthusiastically. He holds hope that he will be set free. And he's not wrong to pray for mercy. At the same time, he also holds another hope, that when he picks up his cross and follows Jesus, he will experience resurrection. And that hope will not only be fulfilled after death. Jesus offers him new and unending life now in the midst of his sufferings. In an impossible situation, in a place that often feels dead set against life, he is walking toward resurrection. He is following Jesus, who transformed the sentence of death on a cross into everlasting life. What cross are you having to bear right now? Have you thought? Have you thought, is your Christian duty simply to endure? Jesus is calling you to follow him. He is not asking you to seek out burdens. He is not asking you to carry your burdens alone. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus is calling us to take up our cross and follow him to resurrection. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, Paul says in Romans. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. Before his crucifixion, Jesus tells his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In this world we will have trouble, but let us take heart. Christ has overcome the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.